Bow your heads in prayer with me. Father, we love you. We thank you for your just grace and kindness and mercy in our lives. Lord, as we look at Psalm 23, I pray that our souls would be strengthened by just understanding and seeing your leadership in more clear and powerful ways in our lives. And Father, let us be the type of people that just trust in you through the valleys, through the good times, through all that life has for us. Help us to walk fully trusting that you are a faithful and good leader. And we ask for your blessings in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, church. It's good to be with you today. We're, I think, fully in fall right now, don't you think? And next Sunday, we're having our Fall Fest. So, yeah, come on, people. Come on. Give a little love for Fall Fest. We're going to have donuts and inflatables. We're also going to have a ministry fair. So if you've been looking to get involved and to serve but aren't sure where, we'll have all our ministries under the pavilion so you can kind of see what's going on and get connected. So it's going to be a fun day. Bring someone with you. Also pray for good weather, because if you've been around, you know my track record. Basically, if I plan an event, it's going to be a horrible day. So I need y'all to pray to counteract that, all right? So be praying for that. And today we're going to finish Psalm 23. So I hope you've been enjoying this. I love Psalm 23. Just every time you hear it, it just kind of does something, you know, in the human heart. And we're going to keep going through it. Today we're going to finish up the last verse today, verse 6. But before we get into that, I've been on a men's softball team for a little while here. And why are you laughing already? And you know, men's softball, it's a dark world. I'm not going to lie to you. It's where overweight guys try to relive the glory days. I mean, amen, guys, who've ever been in men's softball leagues. You know, you would think some of these games, it's a World Series. It's not. You know, it's a Strongsville wreck. But I've been playing, and our team's pretty good. And the leader of our team is this guy named Josh, and Josh is really good. So before he goes up to bat, he will literally, he'll kind of walk up and be like, hey, I'm going to hit a home run. And then he goes, and he does it. Now, some of you who don't play softball, you're like, how hard is it to hit this giant globe coming at you very slow? I know some of you aren't thinking that. Your hearts aren't right before God today. It's in your mind. I'm telling you, it's harder than you think. Y'all are going to leave me hanging on that. It's harder. It's harder than you think. But anyway, so this guy, Josh, he'll call his shots. He'll be like, I'm going to hit a homer. And sure enough, he goes and hits a homer. And then sometimes, like, you can only hit so many home runs. He'll be like, I'm going to hit a double off the fence. And I'll hit it. And sure enough, it'll be off the fence. And that's why I don't like him. He's just way too good, you know? And I can't like people that are that much better at something than me. I just can't do it. But he's a good leader on our team, you know? And anytime he tells me to do something, I don't like him, but I do respect him. You know, if he tells me to do something, I'll do it. Because I'm like, well, you seem to know a lot more than I do, you know? Because I can't call my shots. And he'll be like, hey, move this. And he's kind of always directing people and that sort of thing. But everybody follows him because the guy knows what he's doing. And, you know, in sports, you need someone to lead the team, right? That's why there's coaches. That's why there's captains. That's why there's all that sort of thing, because, you know, for it to work well, you need someone to lead. And what we've been looking at in Psalm 23 is that in life, we need someone to lead us, right? We're not meant to go through life and to try and figure it all out on our own, even though I know we try to do that. But what Psalm 23 shows us is that we are meant to be led. And we've been looking at this powerful metaphor of God as our shepherd. What do we got going here? Is that the Lord speaking to us right now? I promise I planned that. All right, let's get back on track here. We've got the Lord as our shepherd. Now, here's the implication of that. Is that we are the sheep. Now, when the Bible calls you a sheep, it's not a compliment. And we talked about that before. Sheep, you know, don't think about just these like puffy little marshmallows, you know, with smiles on their face. But sheep are kind of notoriously stubborn. They're notoriously not that smart. They're notoriously, you know, always wandering, going the wrong way, thinking they know what they're doing. Now, I know that doesn't sound like any of us today. They're getting themselves into trouble and can't really get themselves out of it. And what we see in the psalm is that God says, hey, you, we as people, are sheep. We're just like that. I don't mean to hurt your self-esteem today, but we make bad decisions. We get ourselves in bad spots. We mess up. We kind of keep circling the same mistakes over and over again at times. And so what Psalm 23 says is you need a faithful, you need a competent leader that can guide you through the challenges of life. And the idea is that this shepherd is God. This shepherd that we need is Jesus Christ. And he is absolutely trustworthy. See, what this psalm is so much about is that the shepherd of your soul is one that you can fully trust in. Because sometimes the challenge of leadership is you can have the right leader, you can have the person who knows what they're talking about, but you also have to be willing to follow them. There's two sides of it. And so Psalm 23, it's trying to show us just the absolutely trustworthiness of Jesus Christ as our leader, and the reality that we can fully trust in him, we can fully follow him. And so let's look at Psalm 23 today. I'm going to read you the whole verse, but we're just going to look at verse 6. But I just love Psalm 23, so I'm going to read it all. And I got the microphone. So here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And here's our verse for today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's a great line. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, there is something just beautiful and powerful in these verses. He's showing us that there's a reality that when you follow this good shepherd, then something begins to follow you. If you've ever heard the language of second and third order effects, if you ever heard that language, it's the idea that when you make choices, those choices have consequences, right? So you make one choice over here, and you're only thinking about the immediate consequences, but it might spur two or three consequences with it, right? And that's second and third order effects. And what the psalmist is saying is that when you and I, when we let God lead us, there's a second order effect. When we follow the good shepherd, something begins to follow us. And here's what it is: goodness and mercy. When you follow the good shepherd, then something begins to follow after you, the goodness and mercy of God. How awesome is that? And when you think about our lives, there always is something following us, right? When you look back behind your life today, there's always stuff that we can look back and we can see. Our lives are always creating a wake, right? You know, boaters out there, the boat goes through the water and it creates a wake. I know you're sad because boating season's over, but it'll come again. It'll be back. And the wake is those two sort of little waves that go behind it. And the wakes are different depending on the speed and the weight and all that sort of thing. And when we look back at our lives, there's always a wake that we're creating, right? There's a wake of things that we do with our lives, things we've accomplished. And you can look back and maybe see some like, I'm proud that I accomplished that, but I wish I would have maybe done this. And then there's the wake of relationships, the people that relationships that are healthy and good and relationships that went wrong. And when I look back at my wake, it's a mixed bag, right? There's some parts of my wake that I would like a redo on. Anybody else? I'd like a mulligan. I'd like Elon Musk to invent a time machine, and then I'd like to use it, you know? And probably in all of our lives, that's reality. But here's the beauty of the psalm. It says, the more that we follow the good shepherd, the more that wake is going to be defined by goodness and mercy. See, the verse begins and it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Another way to translate that word is only goodness and mercy. Only goodness and mercy. All that other junk that sometimes follows us in life, that gets replaced with the goodness and the mercy of God. And I think that's pretty cool. Now let's talk about this goodness. Let's talk about these words. So first we see the goodness of God. And you know, the goodness of God, there's so much to it. But if we just look back at the psalm, I think it paints a beautiful picture of what God's goodness looks like in our life. And here's what it is. We see, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. God's goodness brings all that you and I need in our lives. He says he takes us to green pastures. He makes sure that we are healthy and nourished, and our souls are feeding on what they really need. He leads us beside still waters. His goodness brings peace into our life. Even sometimes just that internal peace where life isn't peaceful, but we're still doing okay because the good shepherd's leading us. He leads us on the right path, exactly where we need to go. His presence is with us always. Last week we talked about the valley of the shadow of death. We said, but you know what our strength is in that valley? Is God's presence. That he doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us there. He doesn't say, figure your way out. But he walks with us in the valley and he brings us comfort. He brings us protection. He brings us all that we need. So I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. All your haters can't stop God's blessing in your life. You can just shake them off. Sorry. Taylor Swift. Anyway, he anoints us. He has a calling on your life. Any overflow. All those are pictures of God's goodness. And the psalmist says that the more that we follow this good shepherd, the more behind us we are going to see those things. The more those things are going to be the fundamental reality of our lives. Because when we follow him, his goodness follows us. Now, the second word is mercy. And I actually love this word even more than goodness. Because here's what mercy means. It means that when you change the deal on God, God doesn't change the deal on you. Here's what I mean. If you're a follower of Jesus today, there was a point in your life where you drew a line in the sand and you said, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. I'm looking to you to save me from my sins, to forgive me, to make me righteous in God's sight. That's the Savior part. But you also said, you're my Lord. Which, what does that mean? That means that you have given up control of your life. You have given up the reins of leadership. And so that's a deal that we enter into, right, as followers of Jesus. And so we say, yeah, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. But then Monday comes. We got any sinners here today? And then Monday comes, and then what do? We say, you know what? I think actually let me give it a try. And we break the deal, don't we? We said, no, I'll follow you, but then something happens, or we get scared, or we get angry, or we get lost, and we then kind of put ourselves back in that place, which we said, no, I will follow you. You're the leader. I'm going to ride shotgun. Then we're like, Lord, give me the wheel. Let me take it. And we try to do it. And we do this, sadly, all through our life, don't we? But here's the beauty of this word, mercy. You might change the deal, but God doesn't change his deal. You might try to do things different, but God still remains faithful to you. And man, I find so much encouragement in that. Even when I wander away, even when I try to, you know, get back the reins of control, even when I try to do it my own way, the beauty of mercy is God says, it's not going to work out, but I'm not going to stop loving you. I'm not going to cut you off. I'm not going to cast you away. That word mercy, we could also translate it loyal love. But think of loyalty to the absolute highest sense. Where God said, no, I am choosing to love you. I'm choosing to walk with you. Even when you're a knucklehead, I'm still there. And I still have grace and goodness. And David says, goodness and mercy. When we follow the good shepherd, the goodness and mercy of God follow us. God's ability to forgive is greater than our ability to offend. Now, don't see that as like a get out of jail free card here, but do recognize just the heart of God in this passage. And I think the more that we see that heart, the less that we want to move away from him. So he says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, here's something cool about this. That word follow, you know, follow sounds, you can kind of leisurely follow someone. You know, you can just go for like a nice stroll through the neighborhood and they could just sort of gently follow behind. But this word is actually not follow, it's to chase. It's to hunt down. And so this idea is God's goodness and mercy. It's not just like gently following behind you, but it is chasing you down. Think about the last time someone was chasing you. Or maybe don't think about that. But that's an intense thing, isn't it? If you're being, sorry, if you're being, I'm just picturing things in my mind now. If you're being chased down, like that's intense. There's an energy to that. Like that's a full throttle picture. And how cool is it? How powerful is it to think about, man, God's love is chasing us out. It's hunting us down. It's sprinting after us to come into our lives. And as I was thinking about this, I was like, if God's mercy and goodness are chasing us down, does that mean we're running from it? Does it have to do that because we have a tendency to move away from it pretty intensely? And as I thought about that, I was reminded one of my favorite authors is Stephen Pressfield. One of my favorite books of all time is The War of Art. I love that book. You've probably heard me quote it before. But in The War of Art, Pressfield says that basically we will do everything in our power to run from our true calling. He says that part of the struggle in life is that you have something you were created to do, but because we're human beings and we're broken, we will put so much energy and effort into running from that thing. And he talks about in his own life that he, you know, his calling is to be a writer. But for much of his life, he would do everything in his power to do anything but sit down and write. And it created just a lot of issues in his life. And then finally, one day, he just sat down and he wrote, and it was like a completely new beginning. But he said, it's hard for us to do that. There's just these latent fears and all this stuff going on in us where we'll run from the very purpose we were created for. I think you might be right. And I wonder if that's true about our calling, how much more true is it about our relationship with God? If I have a tendency to run from the things that I'm meant to do in this world, then I probably also have a tendency to run from the reality of God. See, his goodness and mercy is chasing us down. Some of us, we might be running because we think in God's hand is not goodness and mercy, but it's something else. And that's what keeps us from him. We think that if we slow down and we stop, we're not going to get the goodness and mercy of God. We're going to get the judgment. We're going to get the rejection. We're going to get, you know, just something different from him. And what this psalm reminds us is that if we're running from God today, the very best thing we can do is just stop. Because here's the thing, he's going to chase you down anyway. Your endurance isn't that great. I don't care if you've been, you know, hydrating up and get your electrolytes where they are, you're still not going to outrun his grace. You're not going to outrun his goodness. You're not going to outrun his mercy. All you're going to do is create seasons of exhaustion that are completely unnecessary. And I wonder today if maybe some of us, honestly, we don't even know it, but we've been running from God. And maybe it's a subconscious fear that he doesn't hold in his hands goodness and mercy. Maybe it's how we grew up. It could be a million things. Maybe it's how life has went. But today, I just want you to give you the freedom and to give you the realization that, man, you don't have to run from him. And I don't have to run from him. Because here's those footsteps that you hear. They're goodness and mercy. It's not a dark cloud. It's not the hand of judgment. It's goodness and mercy. He is a leader we can fully trust. And I love how he goes on, he says, his goodness and mercy, they'll chase us down all the days of our life. On your worst day, it's still coming after you. On your best day, it's still coming after you. Everything in between, God's mercy and his goodness are chasing after you all the days of our life. And then the psalmist says, and here's where we're going. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I love this because every leader wants to take you somewhere, right? That's kind of the default of leadership. They want to lead you to some place. And so where does the good shepherd want to lead us? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, you know, notice the rest of the psalm. We talked about the green pastures and the still waters. And those are those beautiful times in life. You know, like when the Browns win, that's the green pastures. Those are those times where you don't want them to, you know, to pass. But they do pass by, right? It would be awesome if all of life was green pastures and still waters, but that's not what we got, because then we also go to where? The valley of the shadow of death. But the good news about that is that doesn't last forever either. But here's what the psalmist says. Here's what does last forever. We get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our ultimate place where Christ is leading us. And if that doesn't sound exciting to you, think about it this way. Think about those times in your life where you were on a family vacation, or you were just having a great night with people that you love, or whatever. You're just having one of those nights. And have you ever noticed in those times, have you ever said to yourself, man, I wish this time would never end? And yet, it goes by so quickly. And then you go to work Monday, and you're like, I wish this time would end. And it's been 7 seconds, and you swear it's been 3 hours, you know? That's kind of one of the challenges of life. Like, the good times, they just go by so fast, you can't even get a grip on them. And then the other times, not so fast. Now, I believe that dwelling in the house of the Lord, it's that experience where we're like, this time, I don't want it to end. And the beauty is, it doesn't. The beauty is, we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That impulse, that reality in your soul that has those moments where you're with the people that you love and just, you know, everything's as it should be. And your soul is just on cloud nine. That's what the house of the Lord forever is like. But the beauty is the moment doesn't end. We get to stay there. And the psalmist says that's where Christ is taking us. Now, if Christ is leading us there, then I think that should determine what we do here. You know, if you're going someplace, that determines sort of how you prepare for that place. If I'm going camping, I'm going to prepare one way. You know, I'm going to get hoodies and sleeping bags and tents and that sort of thing. If I'm going to the beach, I'm going to get something else. If we're taking the girls somewhere, I've got a pack, basically a military convoy. You know, just it's unbelievable. And that's just for like one night, you know. Where we're going, it determines how we prepare. And if we're going to the house of the Lord, if that's where we're ultimately going, what matters in the house of the Lord? What's going to be important? Right? The good shepherd, that's where he's leading your life today. The house of the Lord. What is going to be important in that place? I just have to think that a lot of things that feel really, really important today, you won't even think about there. A lot of things that feel just like huge and, you know, the most important thing today may not even matter there. And if that's where we're going, if that's where we're going to be forever, then preparing for there is a good way to live now. You with me on this? And I just had to think, and I thought, you know, here's some things that came to mind that I think will matter there. Is number one, how we worshiped God here. See, we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what I think a lot of that house is about? It's not about us and our ambitions and our kingdoms and our, you know, all the stuff that can consume us. That place is about God. It's about his glory. It's about honoring him. It's about thanking him. And to be prepared for there means that a huge rhythm of my life should be worshiping and honoring God, right? Because that's what a lot of that's going to be. I also think how we served him is what's going to matter there. You know, like what will the conversations, what will be the glory conversations in the house of the Lord? They won't be about my softball games. Pretty sure about that. Although, you know, I think there would be a lot of good material there. No, the glory of those conversations will be how we used our lives to serve God. What we did with this moment that you and I have today, this fragile thing called life, how we serve God, how we serve God's people. I think that's what we're going to talk about. That's what is going to matter there. And ultimately, how we loved God and how we loved each other. I think that's going to matter a lot too. And when you think about your life and you think, all right, this is where the good shepherd's leading me. It's where we're going. This is where we're going to hang out for a while. I want to align my life with that destination. I want to align today with where God is leading me tomorrow. I want to use this in light of where we are ending up. It says, all the days of your life, goodness and mercy, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, Jesus knew this psalm. Jesus was an ancient rabbi. He had this memorized. The people who followed him, people who heard him speak, they would have known this psalm as well. And in John's gospel, Jesus alludes to this psalm in John chapter 10, and Jesus says this about himself. He says, I am the good shepherd. And I believe that in that moment, in John chapter 10, everyone knew what he was talking about. Everyone knew that he was saying, I am the Psalm 23 guy. I am the one that will lead you to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am the one that's prepared a table for you, that will anoint your head with oil. I'm the one that will lead you beside still waters. All of this, Jesus said, I am that good shepherd, that leader that you need, that leader that your heart is looking for is me. And he says this, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, Jesus is telling us, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one that you need. I'm the one that you're looking for. But he also tells us something important to realize today, that each of us will face other shepherds that will be tempted to allow to take his place. Each of us, if we're not careful, we will follow the wrong shepherd. Only he is a good shepherd. Only he's the one that can do what Psalm 23 talks about. Only he's the one that has laid down his life for us. But in life, we will be tempted to follow false shepherds. And here's one of the biggest false shepherds that you'll be tempted to follow is yourself. You'll make yourself the good shepherd. And here's what'll happen. You'll end up in a ditch. And you'll need rescued. Because we can't take that mantle of leadership, church. If we try to shepherd our own life, if we try to just hold the reins of leadership and we try to just do it our way into what we think's best, we'll make a mess of it. It may take time, but inevitably it will happen. Because what Jesus said is true. Every false shepherd, when the going gets tough, they abandon you. They leave you vulnerable. They leave you high and dry. Some of us will make the false shepherd in our life our work, our career. We'll give everything to it, some goal that we have, our bank account. We can make all of those shepherds that we're just looking to provide everything that Psalm 23 says God provide. We'll look to those things, and guess what they'll do? At the end of the day, they'll fail us, and they'll leave us empty and vulnerable. Some of us will make addiction our false shepherd. Promises us everything and gives us nothing in return. Some of us, maybe it is people will make a false shepherd. We'll live for someone else's dream or approval or whatever. But the story will be the same for all of them. They will not lead you and they will not lead me to where we need to be. They'll fail us. But here's what Jesus says. I am the only shepherd that first lays down my life, gives you everything before getting anything from you. See, here's how you know a false shepherd. They'll ask you for everything before they give you the blessing. Jesus says, no. I'm the good shepherd. Here's how you know. I'll give you my life. Before you ever even know me, I'll give you my life. Before you even worship me, before you even pray to me, I'll give you my life. I'll give you all the blessings of heaven. And I will lead you to exactly where you need to be. He is the only shepherd that has already given you everything, whether we know it or not today. He's the only shepherd that can fully be trusted. He's the only one that can lead you in the good places and keep your soul healthy. He's the only one that can lead you in the valley and give you the comfort and protection that you need. He's the only one that can take you to the house of the Lord. He's the only one that knows the way. He's the only one that can get you through the doors. He's the only one that can keep you there all for all time, forever. He is that shepherd. And so today, church, I just want to end with a moment of prayer. And for some of us, today, I want you to take this moment of prayer, and for some of us, I want you to use this moment of prayer to just commit your life to the leadership of Jesus Christ. Some of us, we're running from God because you don't believe goodness and mercy is in his hand. I'm telling you, it is. And we got all kinds of excuses. Intellectual, emotional, whatever. We've got all kinds of excuses. And today, I just want you to take this moment because you know you're running, and I just want you to stop. And I want you to receive and commit your life to leadership of Jesus Christ. Some of us today, we've done that, but man, we've gotten beat up. Life's been tough. The valley's been tough. It's shaken our confidence in God. Because we're like, man, I thought I was going to get out of this valley a long time ago, but I'm still here. And we're sort of just overwhelmed by the canyon walls, and we've lost sight of the trail and where we're going. And today, we just need to be reminded that our shepherd is good. He's faithful. And he will not fail you. And we just need that strength to come into our lives. We just need to connect to the good shepherd and say, all right, Lord, I'm beat up, I'm tired, but could you bring me that comfort this morning? Could you just restore my soul right now? Could you bring me some of that peace? Could you just help me to see that this isn't going to last forever? And there's a table before me. And could you just help my heart to trust that? And we just need our faith strengthened. And some of us, we just need to take a moment just to say thank you. Some of us today, man, you've been following the good shepherd. And you're like, yep, goodness and mercy, they have chased me down. I'm walking with them right now. And it's awesome. And you just need to take a moment and just say thank you to God for who he is, for all that he's done. This is a psalm about worship. This is a psalm where we can just step back and we can look at the majesty of our God and just say, thank you. You are trustworthy. You are good. You are worth following. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? And want to encourage you just to open your heart. Just letting the good shepherd speak into your soul. The scriptures say that he knows his sheep and his sheep know his voice. Would you just strain in your heart to hear his voice, his whispers to you today? Lord, we just acknowledge that you are the great shepherd of the sheep. Father, for some of us today, we've been running from that goodness and mercy. Lord, you know our reasons. You know what our lives look like. You know what we've been through. Lord, today we just want to stop. And we don't want to run anymore. We want to follow you. And I pray for my brothers and sisters today, Lord. I pray that some of us, we would just declare that in our hearts, that we'd say, I want you to be my shepherd. I want you to be my leader. I can't do it. It's not working out. You are the better way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, some of us, Lord, the valley's been tough. We're a little worn down and worn out. But Lord, you promise comfort. You promise joy in the midst of chaos. You promise peace in the midst of pain. And so, Lord, we just ask for that right now. Whatever each of our souls might need, Lord, we ask for that peace, that strength, that goodness, that mercy, just to strengthen our soul. Restore us, Lord, where we're just shaky right now. Firm up the foundation of our heart so that we can continue walking with you like we need to. Father, for some of us, we just say thank you this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that, Lord, we've changed the deal on you countless numbers of times, but you've never changed it on us. Even when we are unfaithful, you remain faithful, and we give you glory. There is none like you. There is no one beside you. And Father, we just acknowledge that you are worth following, that all glory and honor are yours. and we just praise you. We thank you. We appreciate you. Father, bless us in all of this, and let us just see the worthiness of who you are. We ask this in the great name of Jesus. Amen.